Good afternoon and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore. It is the second hour of the John Moore Show on Sunday, the 13th day of January, 2008. We have on hold Major Ed Dames, U.S. Army Military Intelligence, retired. I don't know how old Major Dames is, but I believe, give or take 12 months, he and I are really close to being the same age. In fact, Major Dames, would it be a fair statement that you, like myself, was in high school when Barry Sadler's Battle of the Green Berets was the number one hit in the United States?
I was indeed. I certainly remember it.
Yep. Our culture has changed so much. It's hard to believe that a number one hit would tell a story and have words you could actually understand what the words were.
And that is altruistic in nature.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Major Dames and I share some common military heritage. He was in military intelligence. I was in military intelligence. We ended up going different directions. However, his last assignment, his final assignment in military intelligence, was a fascinating assignment that turned into what's become his life's passion, his life's work, and that has to do with a new intelligence gathering procedure. It was new 25 years ago. It's not new anymore. And correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, but weren't the Russians the first ones to come up with this, and we kind of piggybacked on them?
The Russians had two programs originally that scared us enough because of the 10-foot-tall syndrome. You know, we had to protect ourselves, have a defense. They had a program to attempt to stop the hearts of rabbits in order to practice doing that against U.S. officials. That failed, and that was an active psychoenergetic program. And the other program was the use as a tactic of desperation to collect intelligence against very, very tough U.S. targets, and they formed a team of psychics called, in Russian, extrasense.
Okay, let's hold that thought. We got our first break, and we'll come back with Major Ed Dames, retired U.S. Army Military Intelligence, in a moment.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It's Sunday, the 13th day of January, 2008, and we're interviewing Major Ed Dames, U.S. Army Military Intelligence, retired. Are you still there, Ed? Okay, speak up, Ed.
I'm here. Yes, I am.
Okay. Before the break, we were talking about our response to what the Russians were doing and the team you started. What year was that you started that team, sir?
The team's the psychic spy unit really was in place in the late '70s, very late '70s. But the modality that we used then was the altered states in a very, very systematic way. We used an altered state. There was a breakthrough in the laboratory at Stanford Research Institute, and this allowed. The scientists there studied the way that natural psychics, the very best ones, the gifted ones, when they were on target, because natural psychics can be on or off. That's why we could not use them in intelligence. We had to be something that was 100% correct in order to guide Delta Force into a target. They discovered a model for how psychics actually process cognitively the data when they're on target. They developed this model into something that could be applicable to anyone, because we're born with this innate faculty. Everybody has it, but there was no way to train it. There was no language. And this became the syntax and grammar for how our unconscious mind communicates accurately to conscious awareness. So I was part of a prototype team on which this was tested, and at the end of the study, we became better and more consistent than the best natural psychics on the planet. So that was all we needed.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, my job as operations and training officer was to take this animal into the deep, dark world of intelligence and massage it into an effective intelligence collection tool, which we did.
Well, obviously you did that. what's the status as far, and I know you're doing this professionally in the private sector, but to your knowledge, does that work continue in the intelligence community right now?
Negative. No, the only countries that are doing it now are China. China has two programs. They have an active program, psychokinesis with mind over matter, plus they have, then that's being researched by using a very, very sophisticated methods and Qigong masters. And then they have a collection program with a bunch of children, actually, who are very effective. Right. Because you don't have to ask a child to open their mind up. It hasn't closed yet.
Amazing. Well, I think the what the intelligence agencies should do is give you a contract, a very lucrative contract, to continue your work and help our national defense as well.
No, I don't take money for that, John. I put an X on the head of Osama bin Laden in the frontier provinces of Pakistan 2 months ago for my country, and 48 hours after 9/11, we had pinpointed the bunker complex in Kandahar, Afghanistan, where the operations center was that planned the attack. So I don't
charge.
You mean
the bunker complex paid for with U.S. tax dollars?
Negative. No. This was a hidden complex under Ahmad Shah Durrani's tomb. He was the architect.
Really?
Yeah. And this was where Osama bin Laden and his buddies planned the actual attack. And we wanted to know who paid for the attack. We wanted to follow the money chain. That was what we looked for.
Well, the money went back to the Pakistani intelligence service, didn't it?
No. It went back to that particular bunker complex that was hidden underneath the tomb in Kandahar, Afghanistan.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Now let's get some contact information here. If people want to learn more, and we're going to go right into this DVD I'm so fascinated with. What's your website address, sir?
LearnRV.com.
That's simple. LearnRV, that's Romeo Victor, LearnRV.com.
Yeah, because it's a teachable skill.
Go ahead.
This is a teachable skill, so we teach it. I do not have a home base. I live, ironically, on the Russian border in Lugansk, and I speak Russian there. So I'm sleeping with the enemy, literally and figuratively.
Amazing.
Absolutely. Life is strange.
You have a DVD. I just watched it again today. It's titled Kill Shot. And I find it fascinating. The first hour, I don't know if you were listening or not, but you, Major Ed Dames, were U.S. Army Military Intelligence retired, Professor James McKinney, and myself, we've all came to the same conclusion by different methods. Which is one of the basic things you look for in intelligence work is different sources that point to the same conclusion.
You need at least three sources before we operate, yes.
And sources that are independent, have veracity, and don't know each other. And that's exactly what we have here. I want all you listeners out there, you need to get a copy of this DVD titled Kill Shot at the website we just gave out. LearnRV.com, and what you'll find, ladies and gentlemen, it's not terribly long, very professionally produced, I might add, you will find in this short DVD that the information given out by Ed Dames dovetails precisely with what Professor McKinney has been saying for years, what I've been saying for years, and you really, really need to get this DVD. Well, how long are you going to be in the States, Ed?
I go back and forth between Ukraine and the States. I still have contracts in the States, and of course I teach. That's my major function, is to teach other people how to do this. So I teach workshops. My next basic workshop is March 1st and 2nd in Las Vegas, and that teaches the basic skill of remote viewing.
Now, is that information for that workshop on your website also?
Everything is there. And I'd rather have people look at that rather than give them an order number so they can become familiar with what remote viewing is and isn't.
Well, that's neat. Well, typically how many attendees do you have at one of these workshops?
We limit it to 60 or 70 people max, and my team and I, so that we have quality of instruction. I and my professionals, my eight professionals, are in that workshop to make sure people have one-on-one training.
That's outstanding. Now, one of the things I learned from Killshot that it filled in a big gap for me. I've been wondering for years, and I've been very aware, and I have personal experience with both private sector and government shelters that have been built, steel-reinforced concrete underground shelters. And I know that the effects I knew about, they didn't need to be underground, but the mass coronal ejection, it being put in the mix, certainly gave a huge amount of credibility as to why they've spent all this money to build these shelters underground, and that's to protect them from this mass coronal mass eruption. And it's an excellent piece of the puzzle that you provided here, sir. It really is.
Well, the beauty of our work is that it's not just an introspective tool. Not only can we get inside and sketch and describe a secret facility or locate, for instance, in the public sector, we located the crash site of Steve Fawcett, the famous aviator. And when it's not in Nevada, it's in the Sierra Nevadas. It's not in the state of Nevada where they were searching. And, our team will actually go in and get ground truth on that wreckage when the snow melts around April, because it's a snow-covered area right now, and it's difficult for us to get into. So, but not only can we locate and describe the street targets using methods that are different and are very, very different than any other method, but we can also look over the horizon at things to come. The mind is outside of time, and that's our bailiwick mind, the unconscious mind. It can look over the horizon, and we can do it very specifically. And for the last 11 or 12 years, what we've been seeing is this particular catastrophic event that originates on our sun. So that's how we came about that knowledge.
Amazing. Now, when you and I first talked on the telephone a couple of days ago, you had not, up to the point I mentioned his name, you had not heard of Professor James McCanny, had you?
No, I had not. In fact, the first time I read about his work was when you gave me the link to his website.
Amazing. Well, I encourage you, Ed, when we spoke, to get his books and read them, and I encourage people frequently to get Professor McCanny's books and read them. And now, in addition to that, I'm encouraging people to get Major Ed Dame's DVD at the Kill Shot, because all this information dovetails, fits together absolutely perfectly. Seamless. It is absolutely seamless. And it's time to pay heed, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a couple of years. We don't have a precise timetable, but we probably have a couple of good years, I hope, before things get so bizarre that normal life can't continue. And that will pass very quickly. That will pass very, very quickly. Placing the exact dates is a bit difficult, isn't it, Ed?
Oh, it is indeed. Because mind is outside of the time, we can always see the next thing and describe it, what's coming up over the horizon. Just like, to use an analogy, let's say your destination is a particular mountain in the distance, and you can see the mountain from far away, but because you don't have a parallax view, it's difficult to judge how far it is to the mountain, but you can see it very clearly. We have an analogous problem in our work.
Right. I understand that. I had a very profound thought, but it just totally escaped me while I listened to your analogy.
I would like to warn your listeners about something, however.
Go ahead.
Prior to this particular catastrophe, about a decade ago, my team and I predicted a global economic collapse. And we knew that's here now. The economy is collapsing globally.
We're at the beginning stages of it, I agree.
Yeah, gold's going to go up to 2,000 an ounce. We predicted that 10 years ago, too.
Hold on, we got a break. Stay tuned, we'll be back with Ed Dames after the break. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Got an inside corner on the truth, thanks to John Moore and the Republic Broadcasting Network. To talk to John Moore live on the air, call 1-800-313-9443.
ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We're back. This is Jay Sunday, the 13th day of January, 2008. I need to remind you, I do have a website. You can see my bio, my photograph, see the, all the fascinating, interesting products, including No Need for Panic, my paper, which goes into some detail about the earth changes to come. Hello, Ed.
In a kind of board. I'm here.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Before the break, we had a kind of an unexpected turn of events here where you described your team of a worldwide economic collapse. Go into some detail about what I told you what's coming and most likely in the process of the beginning of the age right now.
Well, we were interested in this concept more than 10 years ago, and we began to target the idea. That's what you do in our business. You everything exists as a pattern of information. And if there would be no global economic collapse, then we would get junk in, junk out, that there would be nothing there. But we did see this massive failure of the financial system, and I'm telling you, gold will go up to $2,000 an ounce, but that's not what concerns me. I'm not concerned about those things. I have a garden, and I can protect my house in Ukraine, and the financial collapse is not going to affect people like me. But what is going to affect people like you and me and everybody else out there is something that comes right on the heels of this collapse. In fact, it's not on the heels. It's at the same time. And that is a global pandemic, the likes of which modern man has never seen. And the bird flu, indeed, it jumped ship into the Homo sapiens community and has passed from human to human. And we are right now in a logarithmic curve sense. We're right at the cusp of that curve where it goes almost straight up. So I'm telling you, this year is going to be the beginning of one of the biggest pandemics this earth has ever seen. People will be dying in some countries so fast that they'll be left on the streets or thrown in the lime pits. That's how serious this will be. You cannot stop birds from migrating. There's no way to do it. You can cull as many domestic fowl as you want. There's just no way to stop this from spreading globally, and it's going to happen. And that eclipses the idea of global economic collapse by far.
Well, we're just going all kinds of different directions here, and I need to tell you about I ran for Congress in 96, and I met a lot of people. I knew a lot of people anyway, but a lot of contacts. One of them called me on the phone and said, "John," and this person described it to me, and the person said, "Would you like a copy of it?" And I said, "Sure." So I get this plain brown envelope with a photocopy of a 400-page book that's stamped with security clearance, security markings on it, all about what you're talking about right now, which is the possible breaks and our response or lack of response to same. And it's a very scary book. I keep it in a red binder. But I agree with you absolutely, Ed. The States is probably one of the top countries that could deal with something like this, and we're not even being prepared to deal with this kind of a pandemic. Now, what happened with the Spanish flu in 1918 was, from my study, the vaccines they were giving our soldiers were actually spreading the pandemic.
That was, yes, sad but true.
You're aware of that also.
Yes, I am.
These troops were in these training bays getting ready to go to World War One, and they got these vaccines, and when they went overseas, they took the flu with them is what happened, and it caused tens of millions of deaths all over the planet. I'm a bit concerned that once again the vaccine provided by the government would do what happened in 1918. Do you share my concern?
No, negative. The biochemistry has been worked out, and the molecular genetics. That those problems don't exist anymore. But this basic problem does, where H1N1 has finally mutated to the point where it can infect humans, and now within humans, it's mutated to the point where it can be passed from human to human, as we now know and are seeing out there, with families are dying because it's being passed from one family member to another. Once this thing, the fuse is lit, there's no stopping it, fuse is lit. The only way to control something like this would be to do what the Chinese did in the case of SARS a couple of years ago, where they quarantined an entire cities. But you right. can't do that with bird flu, because you can't stop birds from migrating. But now right. it's too late anyway, because it's in the human population. So we're in trouble, big trouble.
Well, we have a lot of advertisers on Republic on health related matters. The stronger your immune system is, the more likely you would be to survive.
Correct.
This type of matter.
Absolutely correct.
And it's beyond the scope of our discussion today to really get into any detail in depth, but the various hosts and shows that are archived at Republic go into great detail about how to keep your immune system strong, how to make access to healthy foods and supplements and good clean water. All these the things that are harmful, the artificial sweeteners and so forth. And we got a break. We'll be back with Major Ed Dames, U.S. Army military and child is retired in a moment. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're living our life, and we're interviewing Major Ed Dames, U.S. Army military intelligence retired. You still there, Ed?
I am indeed.
Okay, Ed, now, before we get back into this, these two topics, the bird flu pandemic and the worldwide international economic collapse, let's get your contact information out. What is your website address, please?
My primary website, where I teach and have background on our work and myself, is learnrv.com.
Outstanding. That's simple. I don't have a link up on my website yet, but I will as soon as my webmaster can get to that. And you need to check this out, ladies and gentlemen. This is a place with this website being a place with very, very educational material, a way to order the DVD we've been talking about, Killshot. There's other DVDs. You need to look at them and evaluate them also and consider them. Getting back to, we have three topics on the table here, Ed.
I'd like to add a fourth, if you will.
You're going to add a fourth. Let's review the first three, then we'll jump into the fourth. The Earth changes with rising ocean levels and 200 mile an hour on our winds and the coronal mass eruption, number one. The worldwide economic collapse, number two. The bird flu pandemic, number three. And number four is?
About 15 years ago, my team, at that time my team was some of the former military members of the Psychic Spy Unit. We were at the Defense Intelligence Agency at that time. I've replaced all my military members with a civilian team now, because the techniques have evolved. Now we teach very sophisticated techniques that we didn't have access to in the old days. At any rate, we were looking over the horizon at big events, one in terms of indicators and warning, things that people should know what's coming in terms of over-the-horizon dangers. And one of the things we were interested in as a team and what we targeted using our techniques was the next use of a nuclear weapon in anger, where there would be mass casualties. We explored this. And what we saw, and this, again, this was more than 12, 13 years ago, what we saw was a scenario on the Korean Peninsula where a nuclear weapon was popped on the peninsula by the North Vietnamese. I'm sorry, by the North Koreans, by the DPRK.
Wrong one. Go ahead.
Now, the perfect storm is now brewing there, where China is saying they have a plan, they're ready to go in and stabilize the North, because they're afraid that their former friend is a little bit erratic, to say the least. So you've got the North Korean leader now, who's psychotic and paranoid to begin with, surrounded on all sides by the hated United States, South Korea, and now China, their former best ally. So this sets the stage. I mean, it's the perfect storm for the use of almost a doomsday machine for them to pop this thing, a psychotic leader to pop one of their at least three nuclear weapons on the ground. They don't have a delivery method, as you know. They don't have a missile.
Two-ton truck.
They're going to put it on a two-ton truck. That's right. Or what we've described, actually, it appears that the weapon that they're going to use is in one of the underground tunnels that connects North Korea to South Korea.
Yeah, well, these tunnels exist, and at least one or more have been discovered, and we don't know how many have been undiscovered.
Oh, there are many, actually. One of my projects in the military was to help look for the tunnels.
Oh, boy. And when we say tunnels, we're talking tunnels big enough to drive a truck or two trucks past
each other,
aren't we?
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Huge, huge tunnels. Amazing. Well,
and now, I have my own, in addition to teaching publicly, I have my own intelligence organization. I started it when I retired from the military. It's called the Matrix Intelligence Agency, and I'm an associate director, an executive director of this. One of the reasons this exists is to track nuclear terrorists and to describe nuclear terrorist threats, because having been at celestial levels of intelligence myself, the Office of Secretary of Defense, and I reported direct to the White House, I'm telling you that we do not have the wherewithal, no matter how much money is dumped into a program, to be able to find and locate the sum of all fears types of devices that are going to come into this country. We're using the methods that we do, remote viewing is the only game in town. It's one of the reasons I stuck with this for so long.
Whoa. Breathtaking, Ed. Absolutely breathtaking.
Well, you don't want to know the rest, because you'll stay awake at night. You won't be able to sleep. So we leave that to us. That's the reason this organization exists. And the bad guys know.
You mean there's more you haven't told us?
I don't want to go into all the technical details. But the bad guys know about us, and they know that we're watching them. We cut our teeth side by side with the Drug Enforcement Agency by practicing where all the hidden drugs were aboard ships or on sleds towed behind, that kind of thing, then sending the DEA agents on the ship using a welding torch, cutting out the metal where the cocaine was hidden inside the ship, or doing those things. We cut our teeth on that so that we can now be certain about where the parts of a nuclear weapon are and the people that would be the perpetrators to use this against the U.S.
They would use the same methods of concealment. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
No, I'm saying that my team, over the years, we practiced by locating specifically targets. Our targets now are the components that would make up a device, but we practice using drug shipments.
I'm with you. Well, don't lose the phone number of the Marines or the Delta, so when you find these things, you can tell these boys.
No, we're connected. There's things I can't talk about, obviously, on the air. Or everything.
Obviously.
We know who to call.
Well, good.
John, you still there?
Unlike the FBI, and pay their phone as long.
John, you're cutting in and out. It sounds like you have a Bluetooth or something like that. You're cutting in and out.
It's just the electronic thing. A couple of days ago, there was a mainstream news story about the FBI had a number of wiretaps of Islamic terrorists that were turned off because they didn't pay their phone bill.
I'm aware.
It sounds like the government, right?
The Keystone Cops.
Well, I'll tell you, since J. Edgar Hoover died, it's been downhill all the way for them boys. They try their best. I know some of these men and women, and they're patriots, and they do their best they can, but God bless them. I mean, too bad J. Edgar Hoover could not have lived longer.
The irony for me is that I've been able to serve my country better on the outside than on the inside. That gives you some insight into the system, because we can run rings around an institution that has to move slowly. flee and get rubber stamped from one point to the next. We don't, as a private intelligence agency, we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about being politically correct.
I concur. As a young intelligence analyst in Vietnam, I came to the conclusion that if I spent years in that career, I would be working with coworkers to generate good quality intelligence and good quality intelligence products that would be not made use of by the powers that be. And I didn't want to spend the rest of my life doing that, quite frankly.
No, I quite understand.
Yep, understood. This is a live call-in show, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a question or comment for Ed, you're welcome to call in at 800-313-9443. And that website for Major Dames is learnrv.com. Learn Romeo Victor.com. Find out anything you need to know there at that website to get you started. To become a remote viewer yourself, you do not need, we need to stress, you do not need any psychic abilities whatsoever to do this, do you, Ed?
We're all born with this as an innate faculty. It's just like we're all born with the ability to learn a language. But unless we're introduced to a structured language, whether it's Chinese or German or English, you will never be able to communicate other than in grunts and whistles and those kinds of things. You have to have a structure. And what we discovered in the laboratory is the structure for how unconscious communicates to conscious awareness, which is only done normally in hours of sleep where it's very messy or in moments of revelation or inspiration. But that's all. Here we're able to control it and turn it into a skill. It's a standard procedure, standardized procedure.
Absolutely amazing. Huh?
It is amazing.
That is marvelous. I'm breaking up real bad. Well, maybe I should call in on the toll-free number myself here. And if we have a break coming up soon, I'll do that. In the meantime, I'll deal with Skype, and everybody will be tempting to hear me. Let's see. Where do we go from here? What project are you on right now?
If you have callers that have questions, I'll take the shots.
Okay, well, we don't have any callers on hold that I'm aware of.
Okay, then let me talk about what remote viewing is and what it's not. Because I think people need to understand this. When we work, it's a state of high attention. Our eyes are open. We're sitting at a table and with sheets of white paper and a pen. The protocols that are structured, what these protocols do is they lock onto a target, a person, a place, a thing, or an event. And unconscious holds contact with that target and begins to describe it. But as it does this, and this is direct knowledge, for instance, I've trained some of the world's leading doctors, the world's leading orthopedic surgeon, the world's leading ear doctor, to solve intractable problems using unconscious. So it's direct knowledge. Thinking and analysis are out the window. This process does an end run around the thinking process. There is no thinking aloud for 45 minutes. All you do is you take the data in a very structured way. And so the end run around the thinking mind also prevents imagination from entering the picture. Psychics can't do this. They don't have a structure. They're not disciplined. They have no rigor. This process is very much like playing the piano. When you play the piano, if you stop and think about the note you just played and how it sounded, and you get caught up energetically in the note, the music will stop. So in our process, we have in a metronomic fashion, we allow unconscious to pass data, perceptual data, to conscious awareness, and we write this down and we sketch both those things throughout the 45 minutes. At the end of the 45 minutes, we can look at the data that we have. Just like a jigsaw puzzle, each moment we collect another piece of the jigsaw puzzle, and then at the end of the session, now we're free to think and put the pieces together. And that what we have then is an accurate description of our target without the overlay of imagination or analysis, your analytical mind or your ego getting in the way. It's pure, just pure. It's direct knowledge of a target.
Well, that's pretty amazing, Ed, and it's an education for all of us. We got our first caller here, Steve from California.
Hello, John. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Go ahead.
John, I got a question specifically for you because of your Green Beret experience. And I remember the 60s quite well. Do you think, either of you actually, that there is an agenda with the government to cause a race war in this country utilizing the military? And I ask this for a serious reason. All the plans that are in place for the North American Union and all of that, they won't happen without martial law. Everything that has been done to try to provoke martial law has failed. But if I'm reading things like Ruby Ridge properly, and what was done to Randy Weaver, which was a crying shame, you know, it's like they're trying to provoke and invent something that isn't there in order to make it as an excuse. And
okay.
I'm really interested in what you think about that.
Okay, I'll address that, Steve. Pay attention to what Ed and I are talking about here, about what will be happening in the near future. Any one of these scenarios, whether it's violent, rapid earth changes, whether it's a flu pandemic, or whether it's a international economic collapse, any of these by itself, let alone two or more together, would create the conditions where martial law would be the right thing to do and the proper thing to do. And you would do it, Steve, and I would do it if we were in charge, because it would be the right thing and the proper thing to do once society started getting out of hand. I hope that answers your question.
Okay, are you saying it would be the right and proper thing to do because in the sense of under normal auspices, and that is the thing that we would expect from a lawful and honest government, or are you saying that that is the excuse that they would use when they have provoked it?
Whether the cause is a created provocation, or whether the cause is a spontaneous event as a result of economic collapse or bird flu or the oceans are coming up really fast. The result is the same. You have conditions where martial law would have to be implemented to maintain order.
Okay.
Okay?
In that case, then, I have to say this. If it is something that is provoked by the government, are those people that think they own the government, and they really don't because it is a government of constitutional law,
right,
then I would have to say that that would be an unlawful, unconstitutional thing.
It would be. An unintentional provocation would be a crime. Right.
Exactly. And I would also say this. Any decent flag rank officer in the military, his sworn duty in the oath that he takes to the Constitution would be to prevent that
Agreed.
From occurring.
And there's been rumors, and Ed may want to touch on this, there's been rumors of flag rank officers attempting to stop things like this over the past 20-something years, going back to the Clinton administration.
Well, I've
got a break. Ed, hold
sides.
On. Everybody hold on. We got a break coming.
John Moore is as close as your telephone. Call him right now. 1-800-313-9443.
It's about out of time. Steve, are you still there, sir? Steve?
Hello, John. How are you?
Yeah, we need to wrap this up. Do you have a final comment before we move on here?
Yeah, we all, sworn or unsworn militia, are absolutely to be faithful to the Constitution. Anything else is not required of
absolutely.
Us. In fact, we should prevent it in any way
absolutely.
That we possibly can lawfully.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
We agree.
Thank you, John.
Call him next week if you would.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
Ed, are you still there, sir?
I'm here.
Okay, let's get your website out address, please.
Well, that's learnrv.com.
simple.
And I'd like to point out, if people want to find me, I teach every day. If they push on, hit the forums button, that's where I teach my students. If they, and if anybody needs to get in touch with me and see how I operate and teach, that's where they'll find me. That's where I am in cyberspace.
Outstanding. Well, you're reachable, and you have excellent line of products here. I want to encourage everybody, ladies and gentlemen, to if you can only get one thing, get this Kill Shot DVD. You need this DVD. It's very helpful. We had a caller asking about where would you be a crispy critter on this planet? Where won't you be? These entities are building these shelters underground because there is no safe place otherwise. Is that an accurate statement, Ed?
It's pretty accurate in terms of belts that will be heated. The atmosphere will be heated greatly over time, over weeks at a time. And you need to be if you're in one of these rotisserie zones, you're going to have to be underground for days at a time, so in some cases, just to protect from the heat.
Amazing. And how hot's it going to get?
Well, it's going to get pretty hot. We're going to have solar flares to the point where the protons, the mass, which takes about 2 days to reach us from the sun, is going to push right down to the Earth's deck. It's going to punch right through our protective magnetosphere, our protective layer. The shields on Earth will go down, using a Star Trek analogy.
Right.
So all that mass, it's going to turn into heat on the Earth's surface.
You're talking about heat in degrees Fahrenheit or radiation heat?
I'm talking about regular radiant heat, not radiation.
Amazing.
Yeah, very, very hot. Very hot.
And that mean like more than 100 degrees?
Yes, much more.
More than 200?
I don't think more than 200, but that's a guess.
Oh, scary stuff.
So you need to, obviously, you know, you're going to need, and people in those zones are going to need to be 30 feet under minimally.
Amazing. Well, God bless you, Ed Dames, for your work and your products you've made available to everybody, and continue your work. And there's so much to talk about. We're going to have you back on my show here probably in about 4 weeks or so, and we'll cover some new territory. Are you agreeable to that?
I can do that.
Okay,
I appreciate that. Unless I get an emergency, you know.
Well, I understand, and life is like that, and I have emergencies come up also. Well, Major Ed Dames, U.S. Army Military Intelligence, retired. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Happy New Year, John.
Thank you, sir.
And your listeners.
I'll be in touch.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're just about out of time. No time for another call-in. This was a wake-up call. Here we have Major Ed Dames, U.S. Army Military Intelligence, Professor James McKinney, and John Moore, all coming to the same conclusion by different methods. This is basic intelligence work. That's how we do this. We need to pay heed. We're out of time. You all have a safe week out there. Look forward to talking to you next week, and God bless America.
With recent